We thank you, Lord, for your presence with us and ask you to direct this time by your Spirit. Speak your word to our hearts. We open ourselves to you, Lord, for your attentive and listening people. We praise you and bless your name. There's been no greater sermon ever given than the one we just heard, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus. It says he went up to the mountain and he sat down because he took the position of the teacher. And then he spoke. And what words came from his mouth? We now call them the Beatitudes, because they show us the way to blessedness, how we will become blessed. Ultimately in heaven, we'll be with the beatified, but now, to the degree that we open up to what Jesus is offering, we become blessed now. And actually in the original language, it's more than blessed. It's like the exhilarating, ecstatic joy that comes from being in Christ. Because you see, when Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, they shall be comforted." When he starts to say these things, he's first of all speaking about himself. And then secondly, he's saying, this is what a follower of mine will look like. And this is the impact a follower of mine will have. Because someone who follows me will have the same attitudes that I have. And that's why I like to play around with the word. They are the be attitudes. The attitudes of being Jesus. Jesus himself had these attitudes. Now he was genuinely poor in spirit. He genuinely mourned in suffering unto death and found joy in that ultimately. Now he genuinely was gentle of heart, meek of heart. "Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart." Now he genuinely thirsted for justice. He genuinely was merciful, pure of heart, and a peacemaker, and came under persecution like all the prophets. First of all, it's about Jesus. But then it's about us. And how we, to the degree that we open our hearts to Jesus, to the degree that we partake of him here in this Eucharist and receive him in the word that's being spoken here, to that degree we allow ourselves to be changed and to become like him, to have his attitudes of being. So that's what we'll be like. And so we need to look at it, don't we? When he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What's this poverty of spirit? Well, of course, it's coming to the Lord with open hands, Teresa of Lisieux said. With open hands, grasping and holding on to nothing. But with open hands, I come to God. And so when I have my hands open, I'm able to receive the fullness of God wants to give me. I can have deep gratitude in my heart for everything that is gift from God, because I'm receiving that gift all the time. I'm not trying to grab for this and grasp for this and to hold on to things too tightly, or people or positions of status or whatever. But I have let go. It's a detached heart, a heart that's holding on to nothing that would create an obstacle between this heart being totally dependent upon the Lord. So it's living under the Lord. And so humbly, knowing that everything comes from God and everything is gift. And I live in that way. So whether I have a lot of possessions or no possessions, that doesn't matter so much, but rather that the attitude of heart is right, that there's nothing I'm holding on to that is an obstruction between myself and going to God fully. So I come with open hands, open heart. I'm one of the poor ones of God. And blessed are the gentle. They shall have the earth for their heritage. That's the meek. Jesus himself said, "Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart." And the word meek can sort of conjure up all things in our heads. But in the original language, it's praus. And it really means someone who's under the hand of the Lord and under his control, such that the energies of that person are channeled towards the good and for the sake of others in service. It's like when a stallion is roaming the range, there's a lot of energy there, you know, and the energy can be used in all sorts of ways, but when it's lassoed and brought in under control and tamed by the horse whisperer, then it's able to be used well for a good purpose. And we too are meant to come gentle. So all of the maybe anger within us and the propensity towards violence becomes tamed, not in a way that suppresses it, but so that it is all directed towards the good. All of our aggression, as it were, and this is especially for the men, and the young men in particular, lots of testosterone, it needs to be channeled, you know, to a good purpose, and so that we come under the Lord's direction, under his leading, under his guidance. And it links up with when in the Old Testament Zechariah gave the prophecy of the messianic king coming in, riding on the donkey, humbly, praus, riding humbly on a donkey, showing us the way to rule, that the kingdom of God and the rule of God does not come about by force, does not come about by power of arms, but rather the kingdom of God comes about through gentleness. And so it speaks to maybe the areas of your life where you rule. Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you have some responsibility at work and people under you. Maybe you're a novice master or a moderator or something like that, a priest, you know. Maybe you have some responsibility and people under you of one kind or another. Will you be praus? Will you be gentle of heart? Will you be so controlled in your passions and the way of relating, the things that go wrong, you won't jump on top of people and press them down and shout and scream at them and hassle them in a way that doesn't respect them. But rather you'll have a gentleness of heart. You'll have a meekness of spirit. That's the real meekness. It's strength under control. Rather than some milksop thing, it's strength under control. The Lord wants to give us that so that we can be like him in this. Learn from me, he says, for I am gentle and humble of heart. And then we see that links up with blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God, because the king coming in on the donkey, the humble one, is the one who's going to bring a reign of universal peace. And this peace that surpasses all understanding is the peace that Christ has brought. And it's the peace of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace, we're told by Paul. Peace that goes beyond anything the world can offer. The peace of Christ himself. So that I'll be a bearer of peace in my areas of responsibility. But I'll be someone who is a peacemaker, maybe helping people be reconciled with one another. I'll be able to, the people who live under my reign, as it were, will live in a house of peace because they find in me a peacemaker. So we ask the Lord for that to develop within us, that we truly be men and women of peace according to His heart. Peace I leave with you, my own peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. It's the peace of Christ. To the degree that we have that peace in us, we will be peacemakers. People will find us to be a source of balm rather than a vitriolic acid. They'll find in us someone who can bring to relationships harmony rather than discord. So we ask the Lord for His heart in this regard. And He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. Now they shall be satisfied. And two, in your sphere of influence, are you someone who hungers and thirsts for justice? Hungers and thirsts for what is right, making sure that people have their rights fulfilled. And what is due to them, they're given. This is the desire for justice, and that we be hungry and thirsty for that, to see it on the earth, that the kingdom of God will be like that, where everyone will have right relationship, and everyone will be served well, everyone cared for in their personal dignity, their worth, their value. And then blessed are the merciful. With you, justice without mercy is not yet complete. Blessed are the merciful. They shall have mercy shown them. Someone wrote a book on that recently. The merciful heart of Christ. That gaze of Jesus when He has mercy on us. And we know that we're forgiven, even then we didn't deserve it. And so we have that mercy on one another, because we get wronged so often. People let us down, and they do things that offend us deeply. But we find it within our heart to forgive, to have that mercy that goes way beyond the demands of justice, because we want justice, we want payback, we want to sort of have it back now, we want to sort of have retaliation, revenge, and get what we deserve, and they deserve to be thrown out and messed up and belted around. And we can think of all sorts of ways in which we'd like to see them damaged. But you see, it's just the resentment curling up in like a coil within the heart that destroys us if we allow that to happen. So we allow the grace of mercy, the merciful heart of Christ, to be within us and forgive. And then blessed are they who mourn, they shall be comforted. Those who mourn, there's two ways in which this could come. We could mourn for our sins, and we do need to have that grace of compunction where we're truly sorry with all our heart for having offended God. But we don't mourn with despair like Judas, who went out and hung himself. But rather we mourn with great hope and confidence in God, like Peter. He went out and wept bitterly, but he did not hang himself. Now he turned to Jesus and saw the merciful eyes of Christ and was lifted up from him. So blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. Then also blessed are they who mourn through the sufferings that come in our life. And in the gospel, I think it means especially the sufferings that come to those who are persecuted and those who are ridiculed, and those who are put down because of their faith and their adherence to Christ. But all sorts of suffering comes into our lives. And blessed are they who mourn, they shall be comforted. Why? Because Jesus himself showed us the way. He went and suffered unto the cross for our sake. Now he allowed himself to enter deeply into our human question, why? Why has this happened to me? Why is this going on? Why hasn't God done something? Why has he allowed this to happen? Jesus himself on the cross cried out, why? Father, why have you abandoned me? It was a cry right from the depth of human misery and suffering. But it wasn't a cry of despair. It was a cry of trust in the Father God, whose goodness can never be questioned, even though we do question it. But there's unquestionable goodness in God. And Jesus showed us the way. And so whatever comes our way, we can be in Christ and find the way through and find the joy hidden somewhere in the midst of that suffering. There is the power of resurrection. And this is particularly the case, as Jesus teaches, for those who come under persecution. He says, blessed are the persecuted. Now they shall have the kingdom of God. Blessed are they are you when they abuse you and persecute you and speak all kinds of calumny against you. He says, you're blessed at that point. That's where the real joy is to be found. The real joy is to be found in the persecuted church. You know, the church is all sort of affluent and doing well and living sort of comfortably. There's not much joy. The joy is when the persecution comes, what he's sort of saying. When it's tough going, and it is tough going at the moment for the church. The church is under persecution in all sorts of subtle ways, but also some very overt ways. It's hard to be a Catholic. Praise the Lord, there's the joy. Jesus says, blessed are you. You are really blessed because you're here on Sunday and everybody thinks you're nongs being here. That's a blessed state to be in. Take hold of the blessedness of Christ. And know the power of his resurrection in our midst, especially when we come under persecution. He will always give us the grace that we need to be able to live joyfully in the midst of that. I've just been reading some literature from the persecuted church, and the most extraordinary sufferings that people have gone through in the martyrdom for Christ. And yet in the midst of it all, being brainwashed or attempted to be brainwashed and being beaten in a way that sort of just cannot be described, in the midst of all that, there's a joy in the heart that only can be explained by Christ and his presence in our midst. So never be afraid to be a Christian. Never be afraid to stand for the truth. Never be afraid to be a Catholic in today's world. Rather stand in the truth and proclaim who you are, and you'll know a joy and a freedom in your spirit. The other way is the way of oppression. It's the way of fear. It's the way of sort of feeling held under and not being yourself. Be yourself and be for Jesus. Blessed are the persecuted. Now theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So these are the attitudes of Jesus then. Let's ask as we come into the Eucharist that he'd form us in his heart, that his attitudes would be our attitudes, that we grow to be more and more like Jesus. We receive Christ into ourselves in the Eucharist so we become like him. Let's do it with our open heart, open hands. Let's surrender to the Lord and allow him to form in us his character. He wants people with his character, his qualities of heart. Allow us to be made into the likeness of Jesus himself. And there's the joy, there's the blessedness, there's the beginning of heaven on earth. And bless his name.